Welcome to ETH, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Here at End Time Headlines, our mission is to inform our listeners of the times and seasons in which we are in. In Luke 21:28, we are told, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads. Your redemption is drawing near. And now, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero.
I'm going to talk about, I want to show you a passage of scripture. Actually, it's a chapter, if you want to be technical here. It's a whole chapter out of the book of Psalms that I believe we need to be very familiar with based on some things that I'm going to share with you here in just a moment. So, again, I want to welcome everybody to the broadcast. I want to welcome everybody here via by Facebook Live. If this is your first time joining us, please let us know below under the comments. Just let us know that you this is your first time or you're new to the broadcast, and we would love to acknowledge that. If you're listening by podcast, we welcome you today to the program. If you're listening by YouTube, we welcome you as well. And so let's talk about this for a second. Everybody knows what has happened. We've had three mass shootings that has taken place over a span of less than 30 days. We've had the California shooting at the Garlic Festival that left several dead, several wounded. Then we had, of course, the El Paso shooting that took place and left multitudes dead and injured as well. And then, of course, we had another shooting in Ohio that also left a number of individuals dead as well and a number of individuals injured. Then today we got the report of out of California again. We had some unhinged crazy guy began to go on a stabbing spree. And it, from the sources that we pulled up, you can find this on End Time Headlines, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. This stabbing spree went on for like an hour and a half or 2 hours, which is mind-boggling, to be honest with you. But I believe there was, I don't have this right in front of me, but I could pull it up. But I believe it was, I know of at least, I believe it was two fatalities. Let me pull this up. I want to make sure that we get this right here. Again, this was earlier today. There was a stabbing. Again, in California, there was, and the reason why I'm bringing this up, because there was also a stabbing hours later in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Two women were stabbed, one fatally, in front of a police officer this morning in the middle of downtown Pittsburgh, in front of a police officer. And again, this follows the report of a man who went on a two-hour stabbing and robbery spree in Southern California, killing four people. See, I'm glad I pulled up the article because I was going to say two, but it was two injured and four dead. And this was from a stabbing. So what's going on? There's a lot of crazy things going on. Obviously, we talked about this on our last segment. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're dealing with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and darkness and heavenly places. We're dealing with demonic forces that are pulling the strings behind the scenes, and they're using willing, yielded vessels that are either mentally unstable, they are opening themselves up to demonic possession, or they're on some crazy drugs, which, again, that's another portal to demons anyway. But nevertheless, we're seeing this happen. So I don't want to emphasize, now we could spend a whole segment and talk about that alone, but I want to talk about what we as believers need to be doing. Now, obviously, we have got to use wisdom, and I don't really want to go into great detail about that. Just out of wisdom, but we got to use wisdom. But just be aware of your surroundings. Be aware when you go out into a large public gathering, or whether it's a retail center, whether it's a concert, whether it's a festival, whether it's a parade, whether it's whatever it is, you need to be paying attention. Don't just go in there blindly walking in like some sheep that's blindfolded and dumb and not even being aware of, which when I go into a building like that, or if I go into an arena or building, a facility, or I'm somewhere out in a public square, I'm always observant of around me. I'm looking for exit signs. I'm looking for places where, you know, there's places in the event of a disaster, an event of an emergency, that would be safe zones. I'm looking for security. I'm looking for police officers. I'm closing every perimeter. I'm always keeping eyes on the back of me. If I'm with somebody, an individual, they're also observant. And he said, well, you sounds like you're living in fear. No, I'm living in wisdom. Even the Bible says that a prudent man will prepare himself, but a fool will see a lion outside and not prepare himself and be devoured. So a wise man prepares his household. So this is not foolish. Joseph was, the Lord revealed to Joseph that there was coming a famine that would be so severe that it would affect all of Egypt. Now, Joseph didn't take that lightly. He didn't discredit it. He didn't sweep it under the rug. He didn't mark it off as a pizza dream. No, he didn't do any of that. He wrote it in his journal. He marked it. He dated it. He interceded over it. He prayed over it. And listen, he prepared over it. So when the day came that it was fulfilled, he wasn't caught off guard. Now, so there's things we can do in the physical realm. We can, you know, we should all be prepared for some type of disaster, some type of emergency. We've talked about this before. If you live in a tornado zone, you need to either have a tornado shelter, you need to have a basement, or you need to know where you can go, where in the event of a tornado is coming, that you can go and your family can go and be safe. If you live, my goodness, if you live on the West Coast or anywhere near the Ring of Fire, you need to be aware that you're on active fault lines and what you can do to prepare yourself. If you live in a wildfire zone, be prepared. Be aware of what's going on. If you live on the coastlines and you live on the West Coast or the East Coast, or you live in the Florida Panhandle, or you live anywhere near hurricanes, during hurricane season, you will come on any individual that has any common sense or wisdom is going to prepare themselves. Okay? So there's nothing wrong. It's not a lack of faith or the lack thereof. Even the Bible says in the book of James, show me your works and I'll show you my faith. Therefore, works without faith is dead, and faith without works is dead. They work hand in hand. All right? So that's the natural realm. But what can we do? What should we as the body of Christ be doing right now, every single day? Well, there's a passage, and it's a very familiar passage. Every single believer under the sound of my voice should become, if you're not acquainted with this passage of Scripture out of the book of Psalms, then you need to get acquainted with it. It is 16 verses of just one chapter, 16 verses, and it's Psalm 91. Now, it's interesting when you study this out that the author who wrote the book of Psalm 91 appears to be Moses. Now, the reason why this is important is when we start reading this psalm, when you know who the author is, it brings much more revelation to the soundness of this and the importance of why we should not only just read this, we should not only memorize this, but we should decree this, we should declare this, we should be praying this over ourselves, over our families, over our households, over our children. Come on, somebody. And so this is where we're going to go, guys. Psalm 91. And remember, again, it appears that Moses was the author of Psalm 91. Here's what it says. I'm going to read, let me read the 16 verses, and then we're going to go back and we're going to do a little bit of expounding on this. We're going to do an exhortation in the Scriptures here. Here's what it says. I'm going to be reading from the King James. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His trust shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. Only with thy eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon. Thou shalt trample under feet, because He has set His love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. Powerful, powerful, powerful chapter of Psalm 91. One of the first things, guys, that really leaps out at me is the personal proclamations that Moses makes about God in this chapter. The personal proclamations that Moses makes in this chapter. Notice, he says, first of all, before we get into that, I want to show you this. It says that the man that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, what did he mean? What did Moses mean when he wrote this? What could he have possibly meant? Well, we understand when we hear these phrases, the shadow, the word shadow is mentioned in the Old Testament in multiple verses. Let me read these. Keep me as the apple of thy eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. That's Psalms 17, verse 8. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Psalms 36, 7. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in you. In the shadow of thy wings will I make refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Wow, that's Psalms 57, 1. And then last, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. And that is Psalm 63, verse 7. Now, when we start talking about this, it's interesting to point out that you had David, Moses, and you had King Solomon. All was instructed by the Lord to build either, they were called to build tabernacles. You had the tabernacle of Moses, the tabernacle of David, and the tabernacle of Solomon. You had these three tabernacles that were built, but each one of these were interesting because in the time of Moses and the tabernacle in which Moses was given the instructions and to build, he was given the blueprints of heaven, and we know that it consisted of the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. And the only one that was permitted to go into the Holy of Holies once a year to make atonement for the sins of the people, and that was the high priest. Okay, but inside the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. Now, this is really powerful. And this is where the glory of God, the presence of God resided, was in the Ark. The Ark was in the Holy of Holies and the tabernacle of Moses. Now, it's interesting that, again, Moses wrote Psalms 91. Now, here's what's interesting. when this ark was made up of acacia wood covered inside and out with pure gold. The lid was made of solid gold, which was called the mercy seat. And two golden cherubim beaten from sheets of gold. They were made from solid gold, were placed on the mercy seat, and their wings, listen to me, their wings overshadowed the mercy seat, and their faces looked downward. So they were facing like this. Here's the Ark of the Covenant. I know you guys can't see me on podcast, but one, they were facing each other with the Ark in the middle, in the center. Their faces were looking down, but their wings overlapped. Okay, so when they entered in, when you entered into, come on somebody, the presence of the Holy God, when you went into the Holy of Holies, into the secret place, come on, it's the, you're, you can get, Moses understood that you can get to a place where you're under the wings of the cherubim in the shadow, don't miss it. Listen what he says. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, without getting too complicated on this, can I tell you how this is relevant to you and I in modern times and modern vernacular? Basically, what Moses, listen, this is the same guy that cried out to the Lord, Lord, show me your glory. Remember that? Moses pleaded with the Lord to show him his glory, and the Lord could not. He had explained to Moses, look, Moses, if I show you my glory, my face, if I was to show my face to nations, it would burst them into flames. It would consume them by fire. Because no man can look into the face of God and live. That's why Jesus came as the face of the living God. When we see Jesus, Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father, for the Father and I are one. No man can look at the face of the Father and live. So he told Moses, remember, he said, I will turn my backside and I will show you my hinder parts. Now we could preach even deeper on that aspect, but nevertheless, Moses, don't miss this. Moses was a man that was chasing after the glory and the presence of God. He was addicted to the presence of God. Friends, I'm going to show you, I'm going to prove to you that this man was addicted to the presence of God because he went 40 days and 40 nights up on a mountain, excuse me, to get the tablets, come on, to get the Ten Commandments. He comes down the mountain and finds a flesh party. They're committing idolatry. And Aaron is leading, excuse me, and Aaron is leading the pack, and Moses comes down and gets so angry and aggravated that he actually breaks the commandments, has to go back up the mountain and spend another 40 days and 40 nights. What is 40 plus 40? Come on, you math wizards. Let's do the math here. That's 80 days in the presence of the Lord. Now, friends, the Bible never stated that he ate or drank the entire time he was on the top of Mount Sinai in the presence of the Lord. Someone say, well, no man can fast. No man can fast that long and not die. Well, guys, if you're in the direct presence of Almighty God, come on, you can live. Because you're in the direct presence of God. My goodness, he came off the mountain, guys, and his face so shone with the glory of God that he had to put a veil over his face, and the people of Israel could not even look upon him. So Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, but Moses was 80 days on the mountain. 40 came down, got mad, broke the commandments, went back up another 40 days, and had to get the commandments. Okay? Now, what I'm trying to say is Moses understood the intimacy of the presence of the Lord And Moses got a revelation while he was spending time with God. And listen, if anybody knows this revelation, it's Moses, because Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He led them through the wilderness. He led them through serpents. He led them through the plains of Marah, through bitterness. He led them through a flinty rock that gave them water. He led them through supernatural encounters with a burning bush and a fire by night and a cloud by day. The Red Sea was parted for them. The chariots of the enemies of God were swallowed up by the Red Sea. So Moses was an eyewitness in ground zero of the glory of God. And here's what he said: "This one thing I know, that the man that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And listen to this. I know y'all want me to get to this next part, but I had to get all that to get to this. "And as a result of being in the presence of God in an intimate relationship with Him," listen to the personal proclamations this man makes. He says, quote, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge." He didn't say He's our refuge, but He is our refuge. I'm not trying to contradict my own statement here. Y'all get what I'm saying? Come on, if you have a covenant with Him, you're born again, your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, you have an intimate relationship with Him, then He's not only Moses' refuge, but He's your refuge. He's my refuge. But Moses says, "He's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my God in whom I trust." Come on, who's your refuge tonight? Who's your fortress? What God are you serving? Are you serving a God that has eyes that cannot see, ears that cannot hear, a mouth that cannot speak? Are you serving a prophet that has died, been buried, and it was never raised from the dead? Or are you serving Yahweh, the true and living God? Are you serving the Lord Jesus Christ, who kicked the bottom out of the grave, who's seated at the right hand of the Father, and is right now making intercession for you and I as the high priest of the profession of our faith? Listen, but I got to read on. Moses said, "Surely this God who I serve, surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." Come on, surely this God we serve. How can Moses be this confident? Because God used this stuttering, man who didn't even have confidence in his call and asked if he could bring Aaron with him. Says, "I'm slow of speech. What am I going to say when I show up?" He had no confidence in his call, but he was an eyewitness to God using him to bring the supernatural, bring the miraculous, bring deliverance, bring breakthrough to an entire nation that was led out of captivity and to the wilderness. And he got all the way to the promised land. Though he was not permitted to enter into it, he looked and saw the promised land, but was not permitted to enter into it. So this man had every right to testify that this God I serve surely can deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. And he, listen to this, he's going to cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall trust. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. My friend, what is the truth? What is His truth? His word is thy truth. Thy word is thy truth. Even Paul the apostle said in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, when he instructed us to put on the whole armor of God, he says, "Put on the belt of truth." Thy word is truth. "Let every man be a liar, but the Son of Man cannot lie, nor can he repent." His word is truth. His word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto thy path. Come on, somebody. David said, "I hide the word of the Lord in my heart that I may not sin against you." And he says, his truth shall be your shield and buckler. Listen to this. You shall not be afraid. Come on, somebody say that with me on podcast. Here, listening by podcast, by YouTube, by Facebook. You need to say this. I mean, I will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. How many believes that covers both night and day? Terror by night, terrorism. That's where we get the root, that we get the root terrorism from, terror. Or the arrow that flies by day. This is a reference to war. I will not be afraid of war that cometh in the day. I will not be afraid of terrorism that may stalk at night. Come on. I choose not to be fearful to go out in public, to go shopping, to go to school, go to here, to go there, to go to my job, to go anywhere. I refuse to live in fear. Listen what he says. Nor shall you be afraid, verse 6, of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. So now he shifts gears from terrorism to wars. Now he's talking about diseases. He's talking about plagues. He's talking about pestilence. Come on, flesh-eating bacteria. We're talking about Ebola. We're talking about that Candida virus that's going around. Come on, we could name all these. Some crazy mosquito virus that now the Floridians are having to be concerned with that's causing brain damage. Listen, I choose to sit and be under the shadow of the Almighty. And I shall not fear. Listen what it says. Listen what verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at your side. He's not saying that you won't see bad things. Moses is saying in Psalms 91, listen, this is so good, guys. He's not saying that we won't witness destruction. He's not saying that we won't witness famines. He's not saying we won't witness pests. We will see these things. We will experience these things. But listen what he says. 1,000 shall fall at thy side. It may be in our proximity. It may be in our perimeter. It may be in our city. It may be in our neighborhood. It may go on in our nation. He said, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand. How many believes that's a lot of bodies? That's a lot of people. Listen what he says. But it shall not come near you. Well, I don't believe that. Then your unbelief just disqualified you. Because, listen, you can't even be saved unless you believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Doubt cancels out everything. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you shall be saved. Come on, I know this is some meat, guys. This is not for some shallow, bottle-fed, come on, Christians. This is meat. This is meat tonight. If you can receive this. Verse 8, only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Now this is coming from Moses, guys. This is the one who was in, come on, he was in Goshen while the Egyptians, listen, the flies, the gnats were coming, the locusts were coming, the cattle were dropping dead, darkness was coming upon the land, the water was turning to blood, but it didn't affect the Israelites. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said it didn't affect the Israelites. Let me go over to the book of Malachi, Yes, Malachi. It's the last Old Testament book before we get to the book of Matthew. Listen to this. There's a book called the Book of Remembrance and mentioned in the book of Malachi chapter 3. And the Lord says, in this book are written the names of those who fear him and meditate upon his name. And listen to what he says. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day in which I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Listen what verse 18 says of Malachi 3:18. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Now, I know somebody's going to listen to this and say, well, hold on here, Brother Ricky. I know some righteous people, some very godly men and women. I know a godly grandmother, godly mother, father, whatever. They loved God, served God. They went to church every time the doors were open. They were a faithful tither. They were in covenant with him, and they still died of a disease. They died of a horrible cancer. They were killed in a car accident. They were killed in a plane crash, this, that, this. How come God allowed them to be taken? Friends, that's where the sovereignty of God comes in. Ephesians 4:17 says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. We can sit here and make excuses all we want. We can change the promises of God, and we can change our theology and change the word of God to accommodate our circumstances, or we can believe it. Here, let me give you the bottom line here. Ready? This is the bottom line for all of you guys listening on podcasts, watching on Facebook, listening on YouTube. I would rather it be said of me, Brother Ricky went down, come on, he went down in flames believing that the Lord was able, rather than I heard him say that he didn't believe God could protect him. He didn't believe God could heal him. He didn't believe God could provide for him. He didn't believe that God could make a way where there seems to be one. I would rather go out of this world professing that he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. I would rather go out of this world proclaiming that he is El Shaddai, that he is more than enough. I'd rather go out of this world and slip off saying that he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, my healer. He is Jehovah Nissi. He is my banner. I would rather go out with my lips declaring the word of the Lord and declaring the promises of God rather than be full of unbelief, doubt, and sitting on the sidelines wondering what could have been, what could have happened. Come on, somebody. I told you this ain't for everybody. I'll probably lose some folks tonight, but this is some meat. I choose to believe. Smith Wigglesworth, in whom I've got several books back here behind me on the shelf. I know you guys, again, on podcast can't see me, but I've got a bookshelf, and I've got several books about Smith Wigglesworth, one of the greatest men in modern history that walked in shoe leather, in my opinion. This man was, there was countless people raised from the dead under his ministry. He saw cancers come off people. He saw miraculous, creative miracles in which he laid hands on people that were born without feet, and feet were grown in. Eyeballs were grown into the sockets. This man's motto was only believe. That was his motto. Two words, only believe. Another man of God once said that one of these days, some poor soul is going to come along and pick up the Bible, open it up and read it and change, come on, history, change the history of the world. Only believe is what we're saying tonight. It's for me and my house. I choose to believe the words of Moses in Psalms 91. Listen to this, verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. So this is not for everybody. Listen, if you're listening to this and you've chose to make something else your refuge, what you trust in, what you put your faith in, what you put your hope in, what you put your confidence in. Is your hope, your confidence, your trust, your faith, what is it in? Is it in the government? Is it in your job? Is it in the stock market? Is it in a lottery ticket? Is it in luck? Is it in your horoscope? Is it in your astrology reading? Your palm reading? Is it in some warlock, some witch, some sorcery, some black magic? Is it in some novels by some false prophets written thousands of years ago? Or is it in the written word of Almighty God? Because again, this is not for everybody. But Moses says, because you choose to make the Lord your refuge and your habitation. My goodness. Friends, you know how strong of a word that is in Hebrew? Thy habitation. Did you know that most churches are programmed to know how to get, and I will say this, I need to back up. There was a time when most churches were programmed to know how to get a visitation of the Lord. They knew what formulas to use, what prayers to pray, and things to do to get a visitation of the Lord, a visitation of the Holy Spirit. But they did not know how to maintain a habitation or produce a habitation of the Lord. See, there's a difference between visitation and habitation. A visitation is what you give your friends. Your friends have visitation to your home. They can come weekly visitation. Just like church, some folks come for weekly visitations in the church. But your family has, come on, they have different credentials. They have different rights, and they have a different authority. They have access not to visitation, but habitation. See, if I come and visit your home, I'm not going to come in and just throw myself on the couch, plop my feet up on the coffee table, or go straight to your kitchen, make myself a sandwich, make myself something to drink. Never been in your home, though I'm visiting. How that would be rude. But if you, oh, come on, somebody. But if you understand habitation, where you become family, I've got friends that are like family, and they can come into our home, and they can get something to drink, and they can take their shoes off and put their feet on the table, and no one's going to get offended. Why? Because they have become, come on, because we have a relationship with them. We know them intimately. Fellowship, koinonia is the Greek word for that. We know one another. We're like Jonathan loved David, and they were one. They loved one another. This is not some weird translation of that. There's a whole distorted translation of that. No, that's not what that means. It means they were knitted together at the heart. They were kindred spirit. So again, Moses says that if you make the Lord your refuge and your habitation, I love that the word, you know what's in the word habitation? It's the word habit. You make a habit out of spending time in His presence. You make a habit of getting into His Word. You make a habit out of going into the house of God. You make a habit out of worship, a habit out of praise. It's not alien to you. It's not in unfamiliar territory to you. It's not uncharted territory to you. You don't feel uncomfortable when you enter in. Listen, you know what I've discovered? I can always find people. Most of the time, I can find people that are very familiar and very acquainted with worshiping Him openly in the secret place, because they will be the first ones that will openly worship Him in a public place. They have no shame. There's no discretion about it. They will quickly raise their hands because they're unashamed, because they don't just come into the house of God and throw their hands up. They've been having their hands up, come on, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They've got one hand on the steering wheel coming home from work and another hand's up in worship, as they're worshiping and going into the secret place while they're driving, and they've got some worship music on, and they're going into that secret place of the Most High even while they're driving home. So they don't just wait to get there on Sunday morning or on Wednesday night so that they can throw up their hands and show the part in front of everybody. No, they've made a habit of doing this in the secret place. And he says, because of this, no evil shall befall you, neither shall any plague come your dwelling. Now, did he just repeat himself? He did. Because he told us that all the way up there in verse 5. But the thing that he added to it was the importance of, he started out the chapter with the importance of intimacy in his presence. And then he gets down here and he stops and he says, okay, guys, I got to emphasize this again. This is not for everybody. This is for those who've made him their refuge and those who are familiar with habitation. They've made him their habitation. And he says, no evil shall befall you. No plague shall come your dwelling. And then he takes it a step further. You will have supernatural assistance. He says he'll give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways, bear you up in their hands. Come on, how many gets excited about knowing that when you go out to work, get on the interstate, go on vacation, go across the street, go in a Walmart, or go shopping, or go to a grocery store, or go pick up your kids, drop off your kids. Listen, you got angels of the Lord that are with you. You've got angels of the Lord that are with you. In fact, Psalms 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear him. Come on. He says, the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear him. And then I'm going to read this in Psalms 34:17. Let me go to Psalms 34:17. I want to read a passage of scripture here in Psalms 34:17. Let me find this real quick. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. That's Psalms 34:17. All right, listen to this. So you have angelic assistance with you. The angel of the Lord is with you, guys. I couldn't tell you how many times that circumstances and predicaments took place, especially on the road, on the highways and the byways, that a car almost clipped me, a car run a red light. This happened, that happened. And I know for a fact that God's angels was watching over me. Even as a little boy, I was riding my bike and fell into this huge hole in the ground that I did not see because it was covered up with weeds. And I remember falling down, and the next thing I know, I'm coming to. I was unconscious and I'm waking up 30 minutes later. And the reason why I know that is because of my best friend that was riding his bike with me, rode around for 30 minutes looking for me and could not find me. And he went back and tracked back where we first was at. And he said he heard me groaning and he looked down into the hole in which I fell and I was there. I knocked myself unconscious, but what I didn't know, but when I woke up, my head was literally 6 inches from hitting a steel pipe. If I would have hit that, and this was a 15 to 20 foot drop, if I would have hit my head on this pipe, it would have killed me. What am I talking about? I'm talking about I had a godly aunt and uncle that I know of that prayed over me every single day, that pleaded the blood of Jesus over me. They asked the angel of the Lord to watch over me, protect me, and keep me. And the Bible says that there is angels that are constantly in the face of children. They are constantly watching over children to protect them and keep them. Just think about that, guys. Every single time you should have died. You should have died of an overdose. You should have died in that car accident. You should have died in that drunk driving accident. You should have died before your time. But God kept you, preserved you, and protected you because of the angels of the Lord. Now listen, I love this. In verse 13, Moses gives us a revelation that parallels with what Jesus said in the book of Luke. And it's this. He says, you shall tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, and the dragon, and you shall trample them under your feet. Now listen, it's interesting. A lion, an adder, a young lion, and a dragon. All these All these animals are a picture and can be a picture of Satan. The lion, be sober and vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion going to and fro and seeking who he may devour. An adder is a serpent. Okay? An adder is a serpent. And it's venomous, very venomous. And Satan is referenced to as the old serpent, a snake. Come on, he spoke through a serpent all the way in the beginning of this thing in the Garden of Eden. Okay, and then he says a young lion. Come on, there's an old lion and a young lion. And what this speaks to me is there's strategies. Did you know this? The enemy will use strategies based on convenience and based on circumstances. So he can use an old strategy to attack you, and he can use a young strategy or a fresh strategy. Here's the key. I told you this, guys, before. He uses the same weapons, but he uses different methodologies. He uses old methodologies, but he can use young or fresh methodologies. Let me give you an example. Some of y'all is like, I don't know about that. All right, let's talk about lust and pornography. There was the old methodology of this was there was a time when men and women were, they were tempted by magazines and by videos that you had to purchase. You had to go to a store to purchase a magazine that was behind a shelf that was covered up. They're still there today, but that's old school. That's an old school methodology or a device that the enemy used to entrap people with lust and get them entangled in bondage of pornography. Or you had to go to a video store, or you had to go to an X-rated theater. You had to physically go there. But now, fast forward, and here we are in 2019, and you don't even have to leave your home. You can get on your cell phone, and you have full access to all kinds of garbage. I'm talking about old and young methods, old and young assignments and attacks of the enemy. And then he says, the dragon. Well, guys, the great red dragon is mentioned in the book of Revelation. And again, and it comes from the Greek word draconi, Greek draconi, which is, again, is a form of a serpent. So all these animals here mentioned in the book of Psalms 91, verse 13, are forms of Satan. All right? And then it says, but I love this. Oh, this is awesome. He says, you shall trample, come on, them under your feet. Come on, somebody say, get under my feet, devil. Get under my feet, devil. Now, I'm going to show you something. Jesus echoed the words of Moses in the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 19. Actually, I want to go to 18. Listen to what he says about Satan. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And listen to the next verse. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Hallelujah. Listen, if you don't give the Lord a hand clap, a praise, a thank you, Jesus, a shout, something right there. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but that should make a dry, dead, backslid Presbyterian shout right there. I'm telling you, he's given us authority in Jesus' name. Moses said, you shall trample them under your feet. And here he goes again, verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me. Because you set your love upon the Lord. How many love the Lord tonight? Listen to what he says. If you truly love the Lord, this is what he says. Therefore, I shall deliver him. I will set him on high. Come on, aren't you tired of getting mud kicked in your face? Aren't you tired of being the tail and not the head, and being below and not above? Come on, and being beneath and not up? Come on. He says, I'll make you the head and not the tail. I'll make you above and not beneath. I'll make you lend and not borrow. I'll make you, come on, somebody. He said, I'll take the beggar from the dunghill and I'll set him among princes. He says, I'll set you upon high because you've known my name. You shall call upon me and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and I will honor you. Come on, man. This is powerful stuff right here. He says, if you'll call upon me, the word of the Lord says, those that call upon the name, all that call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Did you know? Look, you know what's interesting? When the disciples were on the boat in the Sea of Galilee and the boat was sinking and Jesus was standing out in the water and he was walking towards them, Peter was sinking and Peter didn't pray a long prayer. He didn't pray that. He said a few words, Lord, save thee. And Jesus quickly helped him, grabbed him by the hand, and pulled him out of danger's way. You know what that speaks to me? That speaks to me that I don't have to be a religious Pharisee or teacher of the law and pray some long pretense prayers, just jabbling a bunch of jargon and reciting a bunch of stuff to get God's attention. No, he wants to hear from your heart. Come on. He wants to hear from you. The Lord is nigh. He is near unto those with a broken heart, and he saveth such that has a contrite spirit. In Jeremiah 29:12, call upon me and I will answer you. He says, you shall call unto me and I will hear you and I will answer you. Listen to this. And then verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him and show him the joy of thy salvation. Come on, how many want to receive that tonight? I received that. I don't believe in that name it and claim it stuff. Well, then don't take it. I don't believe in that word of faith. Let's talk about that word of faith stuff, shall we? Let's talk about the word of faith. Since everybody wants to talk about the word, when they talk about, I don't believe in that name it and claim it and that blab it and grab it stuff that this preacher's preaching. He's one of them word of faith preachers. Let's see what the word of the Lord says about the word of faith, shall we? I'm going to go to Romans chapter 10. But the right, this is in verse 6, Romans 10:6. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. Now, if you could see me on Facebook, I want you to zoom in right there in Romans 10. Get your Bible out. Whatever translation, get you a King James, get you a new King James. Hopefully you'll get a translation that's sound, and I'm going to read what's in parentheses right here. Let me read this again. The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. Here it is in parentheses. Ready? That is the word of faith which we preach. Mic drop right there. The word of faith which we preach. Who's we? Well, first of all, we know the Apostle Paul wrote this. Second of all, I assume he's speaking on the behalf of the other apostles. And he says, the word of faith which we preach. Now, let me go on. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, to all the people that want to attack a brother like me for having faith, the decree verses of scripture on healing, on protection, on provision, on wisdom, on blessing, and the list goes on. Those that want to attack me for saying that, It's funny how you guys will not have anything to say about confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that attributes to salvation. It's funny how they've even made what was called the sinner's prayer, which was A, B, C. Admit you're a sinner. Come on, believe and confess. Confession is in the sinner's prayer. But again, Paul says, this is the word of faith. It's in our mouth. That if we don't believe in our heart and we can confess, Jeremiah said, these people draw near to me with their mouths, but their hearts far from me. In other words, you can answer an altar call from Billy Graham and go to the front and you can recite what he tells you to recite. You can repeat all the words with your mouth. But if your heart don't believe, if you don't believe in your heart, then you are not even saved. But on the same token, you've got to open your mouth and begin to declare the word of God. When Satan tempted Jesus three times in the wilderness, he opened his mouth. It didn't say, and Jesus meditated upon thy word of the Lord. And he meditated on the word. It says that thou man shall not live off bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth. No, it says he spoke. He opened his mouth and said, you go study for yourself, guys. Read the New Testament. Jesus said, if thou shalt say unto this mountain, be thou cast into the sea, and what? And believe and not doubt in your heart, then that which you says shall be done unto you. He's not talking about a literal mountain, though. Listen, if someone wants to believe for that, who am I to come against them, against their faith? But he's talking about the mountain in your life, the mountain of sickness, the mountain of debt, the mountain of whatever it is, that mountain is standing before you. He says, open your mouth and declare the word of the Lord. Come on, is anybody getting this? And he said, well, I don't care. I don't like that word of faith. Well, you know what? You can be word of doubt. I'll tell you what, I'll be word of faith and you can be word of doubt. And I guarantee you, I'll get much more done for the kingdom and see much more fruit, and I'll see much more signs, wonders, and miracles and get much more answer to prayer than you will with your word of doubt. Oh, I'm going to make some people mad tonight, but this is some meat tonight. Again, beware, disclaimer. This is not for the faint of heart nor the milk drinkers, but this is for the meat. Some folks with the meat, but I'm going to tell you the reason why I came on here tonight with this and the reason why this was into my spirit lately is because this should stir you guys. We're living in a crazy dark time. There is shootings, there is stabbings, there is lunatics, there is demon-possessed people right next door to you. They're at Walmart, they're up at the Kroger, they're going to be at Six Flags, they're going to be at Busch Gardens, they're going to be at the zoo, they're going to be at the movie theater, they're going to be in your classroom, they're going to be at your job, there are probably some in your family, who knows? But I'm telling you, they're everywhere, so we better have more than just holding a Bible in our hand. We better hide the word of the Lord in our heart, and we better begin to decree. Listen, the word of the Lord says in the book of Job, you shall decree a thing and it shall come to pass. So I don't know about you, and you can say yay, nay, and you can poo-poo me all you want on the podcast, on YouTube, on Facebook, but it's for me and my house. I'm going to tell you, every time I send my oldest son out to school, when I get ready to send my youngest kid out to school, you can guarantee and mark it down that I'm going to profess the blood of Jesus over them. I'm going to decree the word of the Lord over them. I'm going to ask that the angel of the Lord be with them from the time they set foot in our vehicle to the time they get out of the vehicle to the time they get out of school and get back home. that the Lord may keep them, bear them up in their hands, lest they dash a foot against a stone. And you can guarantee you that I am going to do more than just read the promises of God. But the Bible says the promises of God are yes and amen and to those that believe. Come on, do you receive this tonight? Do you receive this tonight? Listen, let's do this. Let me just pray. I'm going to pray this. We're going to close this broadcast by praying. I'm going to declare. I want you to agree with me. The Bible says, if any two shall agree in touching any one thing, it shall be done by the Father which is in heaven. So what better way to end a prayer than to pray the very thing that we were just talking about and teaching tonight? But before we pray, guys, if you're listening by podcast, listening by YouTube, I want you to hang on after we close in prayer. If you'll hang on, there's going to be some information for you on how that you can subscribe to our main website. You can get our daily digest. You can subscribe to push notifications. You can, if you'd like to support this ministry, if this ministry is a consistent source of blessing, edification, transformation, and revelation throughout the week, and you say, you know what, I want to be a blessing to this ministry, because listen, all of our messages are free, no paid subscriptions, no fees, no merchandise, nothing. It's free. Everything's free. All we ask is that as the Holy Spirit puts on your heart, you become you can give a one-time gift, you can become a monthly partner, whatever. Because through your giving, your support, and your partnership, you're able to help us do this weekly. We come on here two or three times a week, guys, and then and we broadcast live and we preach at a church or some type of conference or gathering. So we're constantly feeding the sheep. That's what the Lord spoke to me one day. He said, if you'll trust me and just feed the sheep, I'll take care of you. And he's using people just like you to do that. So again, at the end of this message, end of this broadcast, end of this prayer, on podcast and YouTube, there's going to be information on how you can do that. You guys on Facebook, you know the drill, under the Facebook Live where it says support this ministry and follow this ministry, there's going to be a link. You'll just click on that link. There's going to be places you can give, support, subscribe. All that's going to be right there for you guys as well. So guys, let's just receive this prayer together. I'm going to pray this I believe it was meant to be as a prayer and decree this over us. Father, I thank you that as we dwell in your secret place and under the shadow of Almighty, Lord, we declare today, we will say of you, O God, that you are our refuge, you are our fortress, and in you shall we trust, O God. Lord, surely you're going to deliver us, you're going to deliver our family, you're going to deliver our children from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Lord, you shall cover us with your feathers, under your wings we shall take our refuge. Lord, we thank you for your word, it's truth, and it shall be our shield and buckler. Lord, we shall not be afraid, we choose not to fear. You have not given us a spirit of fear. Lord, you said that we shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of destruction that lies waste at noonday. Lord, you said 1,000 may fall at one side and 10,000 at the other, but it shall not come near our dwelling. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Lord, you said because we choose to make you our refuge, and even the Most High our dwelling place and our place of habitation. You said that no evil shall befall us and no plague shall come near us. You said that your angels shall give charge over us and keep us in all of our ways. And in their hands they shall bear us up, and lest we dash our foot against a stone. And God, I thank you that you've given us authority and power to tread on the lion, the cobra, the young lion, and the serpent that shall be put under our feet. And Lord, you bore witness of this in Luke 10:19. Lord, you said, because we've set our love upon you, you shall deliver us and set us upon high. Because we've known your name, Lord, you said, if we'll call upon you, that you will answer us and that you'll be with us in time of trouble. Lord, I'm reminded in Psalms 34, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, he delivers us out of them all. And Lord, you said you will deliver us and honor us. And with long life, you're satisfying us tonight and showing us the joy of our salvation. In Jesus' name, Lord, we receive it tonight. We claim this promise over our lives. We receive it tonight. We receive it for not only ourselves, but for our spouses, our family, our children, our grandchildren. Lord, for us and our whole household. We declare it in Jesus' name, Father, and we thank you tonight. And it's in, come on, and it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. So guys, again, God bless you and thank you for taking the time out to listen to this important broadcast. We're going to sign off for this week, but we will be back on Monday with another word from the Lord or prophetic update or whatever the Lord puts on our heart. So I pray the Lord bless you, keep you. May his countenance shine upon you until we see each other again or we hear each other or till you hear from us again. We will talk to you on Monday. God bless.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.